This is Cousin Anthony. Welcome to the Bobcast.
I miss the old Kanye. Old Kanye, straight from the gold Kanye, chop up the soul Kanye, set on his goals Kanye. I hate the new Kanye, bad mood Kanye, the always rude Kanye, spaz in the news Kanye. I miss the sweet Kanye, chop up the beats Kanye. I miss the sweet Kanye, chop up the beats Kanye, chop up the beats Kanye, chop up the beats, chop up the beats Kanye. I gotta say, at that time I'd like to meet Kanye.
Big day in Bobcast history. We are starting a new special edition on the show today. I'm Bobby Manning. By my side today is a man who has been a friend of the Bobcast, a entertainer, a singer, a writer. This man wears many hats, and now he's part of our program. You're going to be hearing him a lot more often, and we are starting this new segment. It's called Chop Up the Beat, hence the intro, Kanye West. Chop up the beat, Kanye. We're going to be chopping up the beat. We're going to be breaking down music. And we're going to be doing this probably every week, every 2 weeks, as we see releases that kind of need to be dug into. We're not reviewing the music. We're kind of breaking it down, digging into it, getting into the deeper meaning of it, the sounds, where these people stand in the music industry today. So this is exciting. This is something I've always wanted to do. I think I found the right person to do it with right here. And welcome aboard, Jamel.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you reaching out to me, and I'm a huge fan of your show, and I'm excited to kind of start this new segment with you. So this should be great. Yeah,
this is gonna be good. So today we have a very special one to start it off. It's SZA's Control, and good stuff all across the board here. It was a very deep bound with a ton of themes that I think are very relevant to people, me and your age. I mean, how old are you now, Jamel?
I'm 22.
So you're 22, I'm 19. We're both in kind of that period. I'm not sure exactly how old SZA is. I can probably pull that up real quick right here, but I can't imagine she's much older than either of us. And, you know, both of us being men, a lot of female perspective coming from her of someone that age. So I have my opening thought ready to go. What was kind of your big takeaway from her? What was her debut album with Top Dog Entertainment, with RCA?
I thought it was amazing. When it first came out, I listened to it and I couldn't stop. I think she did a great job kind of snapshotting how the female perspective works, especially in like the last song on her album, 20-something. So around that area, how just kind of maneuvering through self-love, self-acceptance, and kind of sort of doing it in a very bold way. And you kind of hear that. Well, you definitely hear that in her lyrics, but you also hear it in the production. So I'm really excited to dissect this a little bit to see how she took all these themes and put it together in a beautiful album. So, yeah, I thought it was great, though.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that last track, because I thought that was a track that really pulled the album together very good. It sounds it sounds a lot sound-wise like the opening track on the album, but it kind of introduces a new theme. And I thought this was interesting because, like you said, there was that theme of self-love going throughout the album and how she kind of has issues with fully grasping that. And at the very end of this album, for the really the only time on the album, voicemail from her mother, where she's kind of saying, you know, you can either take control of things and feel like you have control over your life, or it's just complete darkness and, like, scariness at that point. So kind of grasping that self-control, that self-love is a big thing on this album. But what she also introduces is kind of this hopelessness of love. and this hopelessness of money at the same time, kind of being in that period of your life in the 20s where you don't have a lot of money and you don't have a lot of love either. And that, I think that kind of introduces that darkness they talk about, juxtaposed against the control, where you don't really know where your life's going at that point. And I think that's something we can both attest to ourselves.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. When you talked about her finding this control, I kind of went through some of her interviews, and she was like, Control, the name of the album, it was kind of it's a concept, and it's talking about the illusion of control, that is something that we're always trying to grasp but ultimately never have. So throughout this album is kind of her journey coming to that conclusion, and 20 somethings at the end is kind of putting a little bow on top of it. And, you know, all of the songs before that, whether it deals with self-love or whether it deals with love with men or love of friends and family and all that, I think it kind of puts a great period on the whole album, especially, I think she's 26. So, like you said, she's not that much older than we are. So it kind of, well, it definitely related to us, but more so to women of that age, because right now everything is kind of sort of, a comma is not necessarily a period. We're just trying to figure out life. And I think that this album did a great job kind of saying that we don't have it all together, but this is definitely a process and we are open to kind of exploring it. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
So those are the big themes of the album. And I think that control factor, I mean, I had a tough time grasping what the big overarching theme of this album was. It didn't really seem like there was one. I mean, there's so much emotion packed into this album.
Absolutely.
In her delivery, there's just so much inspiration behind it. You can hear it in the urgency in her voice. And some of the belting hooks on this thing are amazing. And there's a lot to it. There's a lot. And for a lot of the album, I felt like there was almost too much. But luckily, that last track did tie everything up and kind of was like a saving grace for that big overarching theme of the album. So that was probably the most important track on there. But it also kind of summed up for me some of the juxtaposition in her position with some of the men on this album. And I say men because I feel like she's speaking to several different men, or either just men hypothetically in this album, where she kind of sees that control as being this man that she can attach herself to sexually, from a loving perspective as well. I know on one of the tracks she was talking about how, like, some of the imperfections she sees in herself can kind of be reassured by this man who says, oh, you know, you may not think your booty's big enough, but I do, and kind of just throwing herself into this abyss. I wouldn't say abyss, that kind of puts it darkly, but it paints this picture of why, you know, even though she's kind of been thrown aside by some of these men, even though she hasn't been the first priority of some of these men, and some of the issues she's seen in that, it's kind of that control factor again, where this helps make her life make sense, whether it's through the pleasure of sex, whether it's through just having someone who's there to love you. And it's interesting because, you know, when it comes to woman empowerment, that doesn't seem like something, you know, that would be expressed as a good thing in that way, but she kind of finds solace in that compared to that darkness that we talked about earlier. I don't know, what were your thoughts on kind of some of the conflicting nature of the way she's being treated by some of these men versus that safety net she kind of seems to see with it?
Right. So I totally agree with what you're saying. And just to bring some accuracy to it, I've seen a lot of interviews. She's done like a run before the week of her release. And she said that this album was basically about her relationship with men. So we're kind of spot on about that. And again, I think that speaks to her intent to be as bold as possible, because as we saw, or as we heard in her past project, she spoke a lot in metaphors. So I think that's also a different thing that she brought to this album. She kind of just put it all on the table and kind of owned up to whatever was happening. So, and we kind of got that on the first track with Supermodel, where she's talking about this relationship that is toxic. Then she finds out that her boyfriend was having an orgy in Vegas, and so she decided to screw his best friend. So, like, I mean, you know, she kind of starts off the album being this bold character and Just putting everybody in the mindset of, you know, her in this journey of trying to find this control that she ultimately doesn't necessarily get by the end of the album. But I definitely listened to all of these tracks and kind of listened to all of these stories about her being in these relationships that were toxic, and her the lessons that she learned from each of these relationships, especially in or as a 20 something year old woman. And it was interesting. I'm not going to say that I'm surprised if that's what you're looking for. I mean, I definitely know there's a lot of drama that goes into being in relationships, especially in this age bracket. Like you said, we don't necessarily have money and we don't necessarily have love. We're just trying to figure out the answer to it. But I definitely agree with that. And I also agree with you being kind of confused for most of the album, because I definitely was. And I think most of that had to do with the themes, of course, but also the sonic landscape of it. There were so many different types of production involved in the album. I would say it's cohesive, but there were parts of it that were kind of just like, you know, just thrown in there. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I think it speaks to how the mind of a 20-something-year-old woman or man works. It's not necessarily cohesive, but it kind of gets the point across. So you would hear like trap influences. You would hear some boom bap. You would also hear some pop influences. You would hear some 8-bit type production. And I think that all of that together, once you hear it in the context of the album, it makes sense. Yeah. I'm glad she didn't release too many songs, like, you know, as singles, because you definitely would have been confused because some of the sounds are they juxtapose each other on the album. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, and there was a lot of producers on here, a lot of more low-key production titles on here. Cam Obi sticks out to me on the Kendrick track. Beyond that, just a lot of different variety of producers on here that, you know, did work into kind of a complex assortment of sounds on here, which I didn't think was a big problem. I think this album was more geared toward focusing on her performance, her life, her message on here, and the sounds kind of took a back burner to that. I mean, none of the production on this really blew me away. And I don't think the lack of cohesiveness on the beats really took away from the cohesiveness of the album as a whole. And speaking on SZA, I think that was her big strength on this album, was the ability to really kind of shine the spotlight on her on some of these tracks. I don't think she did it on the whole album, but for most of these tracks, I think she really commanded a big presence with her voice, with her delivery. I mean, her delivery on this, I read one writer kind of compare it to like a old school soul or even jazz singer type delivery. I mean, it's very bombastic. It's very accented. It definitely sticks out in a crowd among a lot of the R&B singers today, a lot of the singers, period. I mean, I think Rihanna captures that to a slight degree. Mm-hmm. But I think that's more of a tool. It's pretty consistent on here. There's really a flow to everything she delivers on here. I mean, she's not really flowing lyrically throughout any of this, but it kind of has that sound to it. And I'd almost compare it to Anderson .Paak in a way. Of course, Anderson .Paak, someone who does rap. Yeah. But even though she's not rapping for a lot of this, it did seem the flow in her delivery. And that was something that was really enjoyable. I think through some of the more skeletal, low-key beats on here, it really grabbed your attention, especially on that Kendrick one. I mean, she went to town with her flow on there, and then Kendrick coming in. I mean, that was the attention-grabbing song on this, beyond just like the big like pussy blown in your face.
Absolutely,
there was so much to love about that track.
Right, I totally agree. Actually, Doves in the Wind is my favorite on the track.
Oh, it's so good,
and it's so good. And it's like, of course, Kendrick Lamar is going to do his thing, but I was most impressed by SZA, because after his, not many people kind of can recover after Kendrick Lamar verse, and the way SZA came in after his verse and kind of pushed back, because I believe they were kind of in conversation with each other, which is what I also like about this album. There are, you know, many features that kind of like take away from the song, but I believe that each feature kind of like complemented each other. Mm-hmm. So I like you said, you SZA's performance, her vocal performance, was the consistent thing about this album, which is why you didn't really necessarily like care if the sounds were totally different, because you always knew that you were going to get this loud, bold, and sometimes abrasive vocal performance from SZA, and I think that held up through the entire album. But yeah, I believe that. I also think that was the point she was trying to make, because of what she was saying. Most of the lyrics were bold and vulnerable. So she didn't necessarily want to present that in a soft or falsetto way. I knew that she listened to her past albums, and she was like, I don't know why I'm singing so low. Nobody can hear what I'm saying. And it kind of took away from the lyrical content. So I think that's something that she wanted to change this time around. And it definitely helped the album. It gave us, or gave the listener, a sense of urgency. Like, we need to hear what she's trying to say. It made you go back and listen to songs that you didn't quite get, but you knew that it was something important because she was screaming it in many instances. I also think it was interesting that you brought up Rihanna, because I do think that SZA plays a strong role kind of in Rihanna's newfound like vocal performance. Yeah. I do know that she, SZA definitely wrote. Yeah, she wrote Consideration and Drew Barrymore in like a matter of a few days, but Consideration went to Rihanna. If you hear it on her Anti album, but you also hear the same vocal performance. It's kind of like loud and abrasive, and has that like rapper flow to it. Yeah. But it's just something about those two that style of singing that really grabs you emotionally. And I know that it's not technical, and I'm a singer, so like I'm a singer, but I'm not that big on technical things about singing. My motto is like, if you can feel it, then you have a winner. And I definitely give that to Rihanna and to SZA. It may not be correct in a technical sense, but you can definitely feel it, which is why this particular album sticks out, and why these songs stick out, and it kind of hits you and your soul. And so, yeah, I think she did a great job with that.
Yeah, on that point, when it comes to kind of the technicality of the singing, there isn't a lot of consistency to her delivery on this album. You can see that on the first track, especially Superwoman. Or it wasn't Superwoman, it was Supermodel, right?
Yeah.
And different kind of super right there. But she's kind of moving faster than the beat, than the song, than the topics at hand. I mean, she's blowing a million miles an hour through all her thoughts. I mean, she kind of breaks out of singing on that first track, it seems like, for a little bit. I mean, she's just moving a million miles an hour. There's so much on her mind. And I feel like that, if you could find any fault on this album, it feels like there's just so much going on in her mind that pushing everything onto the table, as she kind of does here for much of this album, probably didn't end up resulting in the most well-progressing album. You know, like there's a lot of random thoughts thrown here and there, and it doesn't progress very well. And like we hit on earlier, it ties up very well at the end, but she moves like crazy topics on this album. And there is some level of consistency to it when it comes to that control factor, when it comes to the men she's speaking to. But there's different perspectives on it. And another great point I think you brought out is this singer's artistry. She is an artist in every sense of the word. I've been lucky to work with some true artists out in school first semester. And just hearing the way they talk, the way they approach their work, the way they discuss what they're doing kind of has like that particular style in the way they talk about their work, the way they do things. It's very, very direct, very in depth, and it kind of feels like they have full control of what they're working on. And I listened to some of the interviews too leading up to this album, and she just kind of had a full idea of what she wanted out of these features, kind of in like right. a Dr. Dre kind of way, where you're not just throwing money at these features, having them come on and just showboat and do whatever they want.
Right. I mean,
they kind of served a direct purpose on this album. Kendrick, especially, the Isaiah Rashad kind of like duet she did with him at the end of that track was very effective right there. And more than anybody, I think the most effective one was Travis Scott on here.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of being that male voice to go against what she's saying through that period at the beginning of the album, and kind of serving as that force. And it's kind of surprised me that that wasn't the purpose of some of the voices going on later in the album. I think that would have served a nice purpose if she could have had some even more voices like that kind of going against what she's saying, but it didn't hurt it too much not having them there.
Right.
What do you think of the features?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed all the features, and I know it's like taboo to kind of have like features on your debut album because, you know, audiences want to hear from the artists, you know, by themselves, but I think that each of the each feature kind of complimented the songs that they're on. It made sense to me for them to be on the track, so I didn't really have a problem with them. I would say that my favorite one was Travis Scott. Like you said, I think his made the most sense, especially listening to or looking at the lyrics. What he added to the song kind of progressed the story of the song along. But I had zero problems with Isaiah Rashad and, of course, Kendrick Lamar. We knew he was going to be amazing. And I think it was really interesting. Like you said, she knew what she wanted from these features on this album, and she kind of picked the best for it. So, which, you know, I wouldn't expect anything differently from an artist on Top Dog Entertainment. As we've seen plenty of times with TDE artists, they know what they want, and it comes across perfectly on their album for the most part. So I had no problem with it. I was kind of nervous looking at, you know, if she would kind of hold up to it, especially with Kendrick Lamar, but I think she did a great job kind of holding her own weight against these heavy hitters. So, yeah.
Yeah, that Love Galore song was interesting because I think in sound and in content, it kind of stood on its own from the rest of the album. I mean, it was a very skeletal, low-key, back-burning beat, and it fits well for the Travis Scott feature. That was probably the biggest reason it sounded that way, was to kind of have him fit in there seamlessly. It sounded like the kind of sound he would rap on an album of his. Yeah, and
I think he produced it, though, like co-produced, so I think that kind of added to
that kind of plays into it.
Yeah,
and he kind of brings that sound of his own on there.
Right.
And It was interesting. I mean, like you said, there weren't a lot of singles leading up to this album, so if you were just basing what you would have predicted hearing on this album off that song alone, you probably would have been very wrong. The pussy, like, that whole topic right there kind of got introduced as this vice, and it was kind of a two-way vice for men and women.
Right.
And it's kind of something that you can dig into during those years of uncertainty, during those years of no money, like we talked about, during those years of not having any certainty on your love life. I think they kind of introduce sex or pussy itself from her perspective, because that's kind of the thing she has control over in this situation.
Absolutely.
Is something that she can kind of use to find pleasure in, to find purpose in. And like Kendrick says explicitly on there, power. Big power.
Yes.
And I think the fact that this song was able to kind of be like the sonic highlight of the album, sound-wise, performance-wise, and serve as kind of a think piece on an individual topic like that was very cool, because normally you don't hear all those things happening on one track, and I think it happened here. This was really the shining star of this album. I thought there were some other great moments on this album, but to have all of that in one place was very cool. And Kendrick did it so effectively. I mean, this was... We've heard Kendrick body, so many different styles, so many right. different flows. But this was even different from anything else he's ever done, the way right. he approached this one. And I think it's cool, too, and this says something about SZA's artistry, that she can kind of approach sex in this non-taboo,
absolutely,
kind of intellectual way, I would put it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you kind of get past all the laughing, you get past all the, like, jokes and this and that when it comes to that topic. And you can kind of think about the power that comes with it, the vice as they introduce it as, kind of the many different aspects and approaches and reasons for having sex in the first place.
Right. I totally agree. I think one of the highlights of this album, more so than the production and her vocal performance, was her songwriting. And as a songwriter myself, like, I feel I connect most to songwriting. And she did a great job of kind of getting her point across, but in a unique way that's also bold and brave and fun.
I mean, this absolutely. Is something you can blast in the car and have a blast with. I mean, it's not like a To Pimp a Butterfly type
right,
approach
right.
where you kind of got to sit back and put on your thinking cap and kind of just devoid yourself of fun. And especially for people right. our age, I mean, you probably run into this too all the time, is that a lot of people our age aren't really trying to sit back, think about life, ponder over these right. bigger topics of their actions day to day. Some people are. I know you probably do this. I know I probably do this. It doesn't really make us special or anything. It just right. kind of is something we do. But I think right. for a lot of people our age, it's kind of a different perspective on life, where you're kind of young. You don't have to think about some of the ramifications of your actions. Mm-hmm. Kind of the reasoning behind what you do on a day-to-day basis. And I think right. for that reason, and the audience she was kind of pushing this towards, it was a very good approach where she could kind of introduce this big overarching topic and still have it be fun, still have it be something that's enjoyable to listen to. And, you know, even right. the way they deliver the theme itself is really funny. Like, you hear this for the first time and you probably burst into laughter.
Right. I totally agree. And I feel that way about, like, other songs, too, like The Weeknd. The first time I heard that, I was just like, wow, she actually put this on wax. And it's really interesting because, I mean, a lot of people, especially women, a lot of women, they feel this way. You hear these kind of comical themes and you listen to these songs and I'm just like, they are fun, but at the end of the day, you know, she was also surprised that other people felt this way, because something that can seem trivial or comical, you wouldn't necessarily expect other people to feel that way. But I think that's the great part about her releasing an album in this day and time, especially in this generation. There are a lot of things that are loose about our generation, not necessarily like bad things, but like things that were taboo, like, you know, with former generations. She released this album for our generation, and you could tell that by the content on the album, and kind of sort of how it came across and how she delivered it. So yeah. She did a great job on the songwriting.
Mm-hmm. It's very approachable for people
absolutely,
our age,
yeah.
and it's very relevant for kind of the way we live our lives, some of the uncertainties
right.
we face, and kind of the way we escape those on a day-to-day basis and try to get away from them, because that's really all you have in your 20s. I mean, just whether it's
right.
through your work, whether it's through vices, whether it's through other people, you're kind of
yep.
just looking for a way to escape those uncertainties, because until, you know, your 30s come and your 40s come and you find that love, you find that money, you really can't dwell on that too much, or it'll drive you crazy. And that's kind of that darkness thing they talk about to end the album.
Right.
Like, there's so much uncertainty looking ahead later into your life. You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to have security? Am I going to have someone? Am I going to be alone? Like, those things, worrying about those on a day-to-day basis could just drive you nuts. And
right.
you kind of get into some of those periods where you think about those things, you're alone, you're not really kind of escaping through one of those many things you do, and it's scary. And I think
yeah.
that was why that last track, like I said before, just wrapped us up so well, because it's kind of that balance between darkness and control. And even though having that control can bring a lot of negative things on your life that she talks about again and again through here, it's a lot more appealing than kind of getting caught up in the future, the thing you can't control.
Right. I totally agree. I thought it was also interesting, like, some of the references she made, like the film references. It kind of, you know, like I said, she made this album for people who were kind of born, I guess, born in the 90s. Because, again, she is 26. So, you know, songs like Doves in the Wind, she brought up Forrest Gump. And she had a song about Drew Barrymore, and kind of seeing her tackle what she thought those films, or the I guess Drew Barrymore being a celebrity, kind of what that means to her. Because looking at Drew Barrymore, I never would have guessed the content of the song. But listening to why she named it Drew Barrymore and how it kind of connected to the song, I thought it was very genius. Also, the same thing with Doves in the Wind and her song about Forrest Gump and him being this guy that was more more going after more than just pussy. He was kind of going for Jenny's heart, and just seeing her, like, we're getting like her train of thought in song. You normally don't think in linear terms, but yeah, it's kind of all over the place. So I think that kind of added to it. That's why I try to listen, I try to take the context of the artist and listen to the album in that context. So her being a 26-year-old black woman, trying to figure out life, through trying to figure out money, trying to figure out love, it made sense that all that this album was kind of chaotic in the right way. So
I love that. That writing was so fantastic up and down this album. I mean, you have great metaphors from pussy to the weekend, to Forrest Gump especially, and I'm glad you brought that up because it makes me think. It's kind of strange that Forrest Gump was presented as this male figure who, like you said, is chasing love, is chasing kind of different ambitions, and Jenny, on the other hand, is kind of just using it for pleasure, at least through the early portion of that movie. So it's kind of the flip side when it comes to the male expectations in that relationship to the female expectations in that relationship, and kind of flipping that around and showing that it can happen from either side, you know? And I think it's interesting that a movie that came out in that time frame placed so perfectly into the themes of this album and what she was trying to get at throughout this. I'm glad you brought that up because that's really cool how she fit that into this. This was kind of... You're 100% right. Her writing on this was what shined through more than anything. And she had some great vocal performances. There were some cool beats on here. But the writing and the metaphors and how she kind of tied so many references into this just really might have been the most powerful part of this album as a whole, especially now that you point out that one.
Yeah, I think that is kind of what makes her, it's what separates her from other artists. I know, like, earlier in the week, this album came out, but also, like, there were kind of, like, this fiasco with Tinashe and kind of her not feeling like she has, support. But I also want to take a look at the content and the artistry, and I think that SZA is, one of the best of at least this generation. And again, like you said, it's not only the production or the songwriting, but it's her artistry that stuck out to you the most. And I would have to agree, just hearing her have such a strong grasp on what she wants to say and what she wants to come across, it's kind of rare that you see young R&B soul artists have concept albums. So for her to even make this album kind of speaks to who she is in this industry and who she's going to be moving forward. And I'm really excited to see where she goes next. Just even going from her name, SZA, hearing her explain what that means in the Supreme alphabet. I know that she grew up Muslim, and kind of her making sense of that with her name, you just feel kind of sort of, well, not kind of sort of, but definitely intrigued to hear what she has to say about her as an artist and her music. And I think that's going to take her really far moving forward.
And, you know, before we wrap this up, I kind of want, I can't help but compare this to Frank Ocean, because Frank Ocean was a guy who was behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
Writing, doing hooks, doing these little things that kind of just like made you turn your head for so long, but he was so far stuck behind the scenes, you really couldn't see that artistry expand and be thrown down on a full platform. And when you think about this album, I think one you could really compare it to, and one that was kind of, I think, a little more overdone, a little more over-filtered for kind of a pop audience and having hits and all of that stuff, kind of more of an artistry-tampered album, was Channel Orange. And I think you can see that, too, with the way he kind of used Forrest Gump in a different way on that album to explain his sexuality in a way. And the fact that they were both able to use that metaphor, the fact they were both able to make waves behind the scenes before they even released their debut album, because you heard SZA on that Schoolboy Q album kind of have like this short little hook. I forget what song it was on exactly, but it was just short enough where it makes you turn your head, but it really wasn't played out on a large enough scale where you could kind of process who this person is as an artist, the things she does, what she's capable of. And I think it's a big credit to TDE and the way they approach their artists, the way they give them platforms, the way they kind of release these albums one at a time with so much hype, so much fanfare, kind of the whole team as a whole pumping up the album. It's really cool. And for an artist like her who's kind of stuck behind the scenes, not well known on a wide scale basis, for her to have that platform right off the bat and have this album be able to be the concept album, like you said, that worked perfectly in her favor, have sounds that were appealing. Like this, you really couldn't imagine a debut album going any better. I mean, it's not going to blow anybody away, but it is just a really good, really sound album that people are probably going to go back to for a long time.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I think that TDE is one of the best right now. You know, ranging from Kendrick Lamar's release to SZA's release, I feel like they, even though they're in different places in their careers, I think that TDE, that machine kind of gives the same attention to both of them. And, you know, that's really nice to look at, especially in, you know, in this day when labels aren't necessarily giving their artists the exposure that that's needed for them to excel. I think I that mean,
look
TDE...
at, if we're doing the for Frank Ocean comparison still, I mean, look at all the frustration he had with his label and the way that album played out. I mean, we all love Channel Orange, but I think if you talk to him, he would have a lot of reservations with the way that album played out, with the way the Grammys interfered with his performance. And this was kind of the flip side to that. I mean, it feels like there's no filtration, no filler in here. I mean, this is a 49-minute album. It's a nice, clean, smooth listen. I mean, I even just turned it on and gave it one last listen right before we came on here, and it's smooth. You can get right through it real quick. There's nothing that kind of drone. There's a few tracks that I feel like might drone on a little bit, but as a whole, the album's just very clean cut, very to the point, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot of interference with what you want to do on here.
Right. Totally agree. I think TDE did a great job. I think SZA did a great job on her first major LP. I'm looking forward to hearing what she does in the future. And I'm also looking forward to her visuals. Another thing we didn't necessarily bring up was the visual for Love Galore. It was kind of dark. And I think that helped. It helped that Travis Scott was in it. I know that they were trying to get something, get a treatment that would cater to SZA's sensibilities as well as Travis. And so when you kind of get that dark ending, you juxtapose it with like the butterflies and how pretty all that was. And it made for a great visual, a visual that was surprising, but told the story of the song in an interesting way. So I think that the visual definitely complemented the song as far as Love Galore goes. And I'm looking forward to seeing what other visuals she puts out for Control.
And you know TDE always does a good job with those. Plenty of music videos for all their artists, and good ones at that. Really represent the theme of what they're going for. And it's funny, we almost forgot visuals at the end. I know I always say that's probably the most forgotten part of going over music, and luckily you saved the day with that one right there. So we have a nice tandem right here, and we got many more of these to come. So that's Chop Up the Beat, a regular segment on the Bobcast from here on out. Thanks, Fred. Number one went pretty good, Jamel. What do you think?
I agree. I think it went great, and I can't wait to do another one. So, yeah, I'm glad to be part of it.
All right, stay tuned for the next one. I'm Bobby Manning. That's Jamel Smith. We will see you soon.
So that's where I got it from, Dave.
Bobcast.